The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Good morning, everybody. It's a Tuesday, the 14th morning of September, 2021. Standing by for Frank McNulty and then Michael Roberts from Westward. Morning, everyone. 710 KNUS Weather Center weather. 80 will be the high today. Sunny and warmer, 90 tomorrow. And then 95 on Thursday. Weekend is here as well. A couple quick things. The website is 710KNUS/Peter Boyles. And we've invented, although it's not an original idea, it's been done many times by other people, a streaming television series, and the first one was Tom Tancredo. And now we've come back, and we're talking about Republican politics. And the second episode is up. It's ready now, called The Shoot. And you can see that as well. Go to the website. And then below it is the MC1 Honor Run, and near and dear to all of us at all. And because the president is in town, everybody, our normal guest list is kind of slimmed down. But in 2014, the MC1 Foundation was started when just a remarkable police officer, it was a sheriff, Sergeant Dave Baldwin, Jefferson County Sheriff's Department, was killed on the line of duty. And his radio call was MC1, Motorcycle 1. He was killed in the line of duty. And that began the MC1 Foundation, the Honor Run, which raises money every year, and this year it's four officers who've been badly injured in line of duty. And so, but it's on the 26th of September. If you got a motorcycle, show up at Columbine High School, and we'll do that one. It's going to be good. So the foundation, 100% volunteer organization, will do it right. We're waiting for McNulty, some of the latest redistricting proposals on how to draw up Colorado's legislative districts. And the other thing I think is really an indicator is Joe Biden's coming to town. And no Democrat seems to want to be seen with him. And I think that's, again, these are examples of how weak the Democratic Party, or how easily I think there's moments the Democratic Party can be taken, but the Republican Party will screw it up. And Michael Bennett won't be able, and I'm reading this from Real Politics, Michael Bennett won't be able to fit the president into his busy schedule. John Boy Hickenlooper isn't willing to commit. Jared Polis has yet to RSVP. It doesn't look like Diana DeGette will make it either. So remember when this happened with Donald Trump, this is the party talking. And learn from it. Of course, they probably won't, and that's sad. But here's this golden opportunity for the Republican Party. They're headed down to this weekend. They're all going down to Pueblo to scam it out, what they're going to do next in terms of how candidates will be selected, an open primary, a closed primary. And my concern is they'll close it out, they'll pick themselves, and the end is already predestined. But this latest, I wish McNulty would show up here. They're redistricting. I've been reading about it. Let's just try to jump ahead and go to Mike Roberts, see if Roberts will come on now. We'll switch him around. And the other one is Bob Enyart died. And it's tragic. I mean, it's sad. Didn't have to happen. And he was an anti-vaxxer. And then we just got done talking about all these conservative radio talk show hosts who bashed the corona vaccine. They're all dead. And what will people learn? And the Enyart story is horrible. There are other people writing about Enyart, what Enyart said and what Enyart did. And I think I brushed up against him a couple of times, but I remember when I was first breaking into the business, and I think it was Enyart that used to do a gimmick with a demon. And it's like a work. And people actually believed he was speaking to a devil or a demon on his radio show. And I thought, well, that's a work. And apparently, like other things, people want to believe they believe that. But some of the things that he did do is he apparently, I'll read this to you, Enyart, he would gleefully, these are not my words, read obituaries of AIDS sufferers while cranking out Another One Bites the Dust by Queen. There's just no bottom to that. So, I don't know. And he denounced the vax, and as did these other talk show hosts denounced the vax. I don't know. I mean, it's what's happened to talk radio. So I guess we can open up the lines. I'm being called, you're sad, Peter, very sad. I don't know why. I'll just say it on my, all over the map, that's for sure, whatever that one means. It's interesting. These just moments ago, talking to Paul Farr, he said, I don't read those comments. I said, well, we read them. And it's the response has been generally, I hate your show. I took a bow when we were told this was the absolute worst radio show. Ah, I bet that's him. Lights lighten up. The worst talk show host ever. And I'm thinking, worse than Craig Silverman? How can that be true? A list of people. Worse than Bob Enyart? How can that be? So anyhow, you send a critique, so we'll read them on the air and we'll let it go. Our light went green. I don't know if it's him or not. Billy's being attacked now too. Hey, come on, jackass, make yourself useful. Okay, I will. Please say good morning. Welcome back to the radio show, the one, the only, part of the Irish Mafia, Frank McNulty, my boy. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm just here trying to make myself useful.
I said, come on, jackass, make yourself useful. The one before.
I felt like that was directed to me.
The one before it was, you're sad, Peter, very, very sad. So that's aimed at me. Come on, jackass, make yourself useful. That's not aimed at you. How are you, man? How you been?
Good. Good morning. Great.
I don't even know where to begin. Talk a little bit about yourself so people understand who you are.
Yeah. No, I'm served 8 years in the General Assembly. Two of those as Speaker of the Colorado House. Have a family in Highlands Ranch. Loving life. Go to a little Christian school out at Santa Fe and Titan Road, and things are doing okay.
McNulty's a good man, you guys. There's a bunch of these guys that really are good guys. I want to ask you this before we move into the have you noticed this, and I suspect you have this morning. No Democrats seem to be wanting to go around Joe Biden today.
Yeah.
I mean it's like wait a minute, I gotta read this one. Wait a minute. You read the critique selectively. Okay, I just read yours. So all of these jokers won't go near Joe Biden today. I said, what an indicator. Remember when Donald Trump used to come to town and no Republicans wanted to have their pictures taken with Donald Trump? Remember that?
Well, and that itself was a story, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Cory Gardner won't be seen with Donald Trump. Ken Buck won't be seen with Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Those were stories of themselves.
What do you think? What was that about?
Well, I think the lack of stories about how Democrats are shunning Joe Biden in Colorado.
Bingo.
Is illustrative of where the Denver media market is these days.
I agree.
I mean, it's anything that a Republican does is set under a microscope, and anything that a Democrat does that is the same on all four points. Gets a pass.
Agreed.
And it wasn't always like that. In fact, when I first started in elected office, we still had the Rocky Mountain News and we had the Denver Post, and there was balance in the TV stations. And obviously, you had a strong talk radio presence here in Denver. You've had it for a long, long time, going back to Alan Berg even before that. But I think it's illustrative of how in the tank the Denver media is for the Democrats, and they're willing to give a pass and purposely turn the other way, where Republicans, if the same thing were to happen, they would be all over it. And I just, you know, it's the White House cutting off Joe Biden's feed at the wildfire press conference yesterday.
Did you see that?
Inexcusable.
Inexcusable. I brought that up. They shut him down. They cut off the feed.
Inexcusable. He's about to answer a question, and it goes to silence.
He went off the script.
I mean, it's just the way it is disconcerting to me to see how the White House, and by that term I mean all of the hangers-on that are there, are controlling the president of the United States.
Absolutely.
And I don't think there's any question about it at this point. I mean, I think we've seen example after example of where he's either said that he's been told what to do, or he starts to go someplace that they don't want him to go and they turn him around, or he starts to say something that they don't want him to say or answer a question they don't want him to answer. And they either shut him down or they turn off the feed or they shuffle him out of the room. I mean, it's extremely disconcerting.
He does what
the president is not in charge.
No, comics call it a mic drop. You know, you do a line and then drop the mic and walk. And he's doing these mic drops. And our guest, the one and only Frank McNulty, longtime friend. And so Biden's coming to town, and this is from Real Clear Politics. Michael Bennett conveniently won't be able to fit Joe Biden in his busy schedule. The man who did not want to be senator isn't willing to commit. Paulus has yet to RSVP, and as they said, it doesn't look like Diana DeGette is going to make it either. All right, Frank, what does that mean?
I think it means Joe Biden is toxic. That's what I think
yes.
it means.
Yeah.
I mean, you have people across the country who, when President Trump would come to town, elected officials would be there and they would welcome him and shake his hand.
Sure.
Here you have a state with two Democratic U.S. senators, a Democratic governor, a Democratic state house, Democratic state senate, a full slate of statewide candidates are Democrats, and yet none of them so far have said they're going to join the president, their party's president of the United States during a trip to their state.
And I don't get the purpose of the visit. I read his schedule. He arrives at DIA at 1 o'clock. He goes to the National Renewable Energy Lab. There's a big stop. Then he delivers remarks, and you and I will be watching the remarks, spending trillions on these projects. And then Air Force One leaves at 5 o'clock. I thought, what was the purpose of this trip?
Well, to burn, well, first of all, to address greenhouse gases, right? The more that Air Force One is in the air, the more beneficial it is for the environment.
Okay.
And two, to burn through taxpayer dollars.
Now, I have no idea. I mean, when Donald Trump came to do the graduation ceremonies at the Air Force Academy, the guy was the plague. I mean, nobody showed up for that.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right. The media made a deal out. We talked about it. And yet this guy's coming to town from DeGette to Paulus to the senators. No one shows up. And dollars to donuts, you will not see Channel 9 say that tonight at 5 or at 6.
No. No, and you know who would be all over this. And I know he's your buddy, so I hesitate to even bring this up.
Yeah.
But Kyle Clark would be all over this if
the other way around.
Trump and Cory Gardner were not showing up, or Lauren Boebert weren't showing up, or anything like that, would be all over it.
Sure,
and I know he's your buddy.
Yeah, we're close.
I know you guys are good, fast friends. You go back a long time.
We're close. We
have. But I have to speak truth to power here and just be honest with you.
Thanksgiving, Christmas morning, you know. I mean, all right, let me jump on this one. Redistricting. What am I supposed to expect out of this?
Yeah, well, first of all, grateful to Coloradans who passed redistricting reform back in 2018. If that weren't the case, we would have 8 congressional districts, and 7 of them would be held by Democrats, and one of them would be a Republican district. Mm-hmm. There's no doubt that the passage of reform and putting it in the hands of 12 individual Coloradans made a huge difference on that, instead of letting the legislature and the governor draw congressional districts. So I think on the congressional side, Colorado picked up an 8th congressional district this year because our state grew more quickly over the last 10 years than other states.
Mm-hmm.
I think what we'll see is a pretty decent map. I mean, they've come up with some strange configurations, many of which I don't prefer. I mean, I think for anyone who's lived in Colorado for any amount of time, you understand that there are two sides of Colorado. You have the western slope, And then you have everything east of that. And everything east of that, you kind of have the Front Range. And then you have the Eastern Plains, and those two are very different. So some of the congressional maps are talking about now split the Western Slope, which I don't like. They also, some of these maps, though, also commit to competitive congressional districts, which I think is great. You can't have 8 competitive congressional districts, but we can have 2 or 3 competitive congressional districts, mm-hmm. and I think that's where the map hopefully will get, and there is movement in that direction. I think that'd be good for Colorado. On the legislative side, there's work to do.
You bet.
Maps were introduced yesterday, and the two maps would lock in a Democratic majority over the next 10 years.
Yeah.
So these 12 men and women that are on the Legislative Redistricting Commission, they have their work cut out for them to bring balance to that map. And I think that they'll take their job seriously. I think that they will. I'm optimistic that they will take this and put a different spin on it and get some competitive districts, because that's what we need. I mean, we can't have a lock on power, political power. It just doesn't work.
Our guest, the one and only Frank McNulty, the new proposals for Colorado's legislative redistricting has been released. Do you think this map holds, or what happens?
I don't think this map holds. I think that legislative staff, I think they did a good job checking boxes on communities of interest, political subdivisions like cities, towns, counties. And now it's up to the commission to make the map more competitive, so that one party or the other doesn't have a lock on control. I mean, you said it before, when Republicans don't have to worry about Democrats, they become just as bad as the Democrats.
Oh.
And I believe that.
Oh, it's very
true. And I think election after election, whether you're a Republican or a Democrat, you need to go out and fight for that majority in the state House. You need to go out and fight for that majority in the state Senate. And in that way, you keep both parties more responsive to the voters. When any one party gets a lock on power, things go south.
Frank, what's going to happen in this pending election? What's going to happen next year, and what's going to happen in 2 years? Colorado, I mean, I fear the future of this state. I fear the inability of the Republicans to upset anybody. And I'm being honest. How do you see it?
Well, I'm, as a Republican, I think I've gotten pretty good at upsetting people, especially my wife. I try to do that as little as possible.
The audience, but no, I mean, seriously. I mean, what is going to happen? Why do you think it's going to happen?
Yeah, no, I think this is a watershed year for Republicans. We go one direction or the other.
Yep.
Recently, we've hung our hat on the fact that, oh, well, conservative issues keep winning at the ballot. Well, that's all fine and good, but when we keep electing Democrats to the state legislature and Democrats to the governor's office and AG and secretary of state, the world shifts out from underneath us.
Absolutely.
And things move too quickly toward the left that we can't roll them back with ballot initiative after ballot initiative. So I think it is critical for Republicans to put forward candidates that look and talk like normal people. That we recruit candidates that are willing to go into the city and county of Denver and talk with folks.
Thank you.
And in Denver's neighborhoods, that are willing to reach out to the four corners of this big state of ours, because it's a lot of work running for statewide office. I mean, you can't just sit in your basement and send out mail pieces. So having normal people run who have real world experience, who have the highs and lows of real life, who weren't born with a silver spoon in their mouth, who don't own, who don't think that they're owed anything, but are willing to go out and work for it.
Yeah.
I think if we recruit and support those kinds of candidates,
I agree.
I think that we will be successful.
The puncher's chance. You got to have the right candidates. And this is what I worry about.
If we keep doing what we're doing, we're going the same direction, right?
I totally agree. And to start handpicking people that only agree with you, we have the same problem again. And so this really is a make-break. And like I said, it's I can always come back to Reagan. Find that Reagan-esque character, and you can take this state. As long as you keep putting buffoons up there and ideologues, you're going to get clipped every time.
Yeah, every time.
Every time.
Every time, and that's what we've done. I don't say that because I like
no, we say it 'cause
many of the men and women and work with many of the men and women who have run recently, but the election results are what they are. And the Republican candidates that we've run just haven't been able to connect with Coloradans. And I think that's the big difference.
Yet on the other hand, and I'll give you final comment, I've met a man before I went to Sturgis who, if I said his name, you know it. He'd be perfect. He said he won't go near it. He doesn't want anything to do with the crazy stuff. Doesn't want anything to do with the crazies. And he would be either for Bennett or Polis. I'd pick him for Bennett, but he doesn't want to get involved. He wasn't anything to do with the kinds of crap that's happening. So what do you say to that guy?
Get in the game. The consequences are too great to stand on the sidelines.
Are you thinking?
I know you're putting your family at risk, your business at risk, but you got to do it.
What are you going to do? I mean, you've been through this so many times. I mean, McNulty.
Yeah.
McNulty's real. I mean, this is a really good guy. You guys, really a good man.
No, there are times in your life that are for public service. There are times in your life that are for family and two young kids.
Oh, I know.
My wife and I are just having a blast with our young kids, and we want to make sure they get raised up right. But it doesn't stop us from leaning into and helping good candidates who get out there and put their name forward. And that's where we are in our time of life right now. But that fellow you talked to, hopefully his kids are gone, off at college, whatever.
Yeah.
Get in the game and go. Don't sit on the sidelines. Too important.
We're going to start having you on the show every couple of weeks. Do you want to get in a rotation and come on and talk? I'd love to have you do it.
As long as you're willing to have a old beat up former politician on, I'm happy to do it.
To an old beat up talk show host.
I've been a sucker for worse.
Oh man, that makes me feel good. Let me put you on hold. Talk to Billy. We'll get you back inside of 2 weeks. Frank McNulty, thank you, man. Thanks a lot.
Be well.
Coming up, the death of Bob Enyart, Dan Kaplis' law firm, on behalf of our good friends, the law offices, Danny Kaplis. Guys are the best of the best. Thousands of innocent people are killed, injured every year. Car, truck, and motorcycle accidents. Danny's firm, long successful track record in cases against the trucking industry. Danny won the largest jury verdict in truck accident case history in Colorado in a decade. $25 million verdict. Caused the death and destruction on Colorado highways. He is the guy. Dan Kaplis Law is a serious firm for serious cases, righteous cases on a percentage-free basis. I trust Danny. He came through for my family. Danny's help, 303-907-5003. They get right back. 907-5003, 303-907-5003, or hit Dan Kaplis Law, C-A-P-L-I-S, kaplislaw.com. It's 27 after the hour. Good morning of 8 o'clock, Stephan, this afternoon. 80 the high. Mike Roberts coming up. He has a good piece on Westward this morning on the death of Bob Enyart. Health is wealth, and good health at any age is possible, like even an old guy like me. Dr. McCallum, her team at Cenogenics, a different approach to health care, disease prevention, and aging. You can't control how old you are, but you can control how you age. She's my friend. She's a motorcyclist. She and the team help you. Your metabolism, your hormones get balanced and healthy, creating a program designed just for you to help you focus, become stronger, and feel in control of your life. Don't suffer. Low energy, lack of focus, unintentional weight gain, sleep, all of the issues. I mean, one more day, don't let it go by. Start with a phone call. 720-387-3681, 720-387, there's the 63681. 720-387-3681. The website's denver.cenogenics.com. Change your life. Say good morning and welcome back to the radio show from Westward. Mike Roberts, we were texting yesterday about the death of Bob Enyart. He does a really interesting piece this morning. It's got some national attention as well in terms of these radio talk show hosts who are anti-vaccine dying. I think he's the fifth or sixth. But thank you, Michael. Good morning and welcome back.
Thanks for having me, Peter.
All right, let us begin. I didn't know you did this Thank God for Bob thing. Speak about that first.
I did a feature article on Bob Enyart back in 1999, and that was a period when Bob was at his height of national recognition. He was a semi-regular on Politically Incorrect with Bill Maher. He did half a dozen of those shows. And in our post from this morning, I include a clip that Bob put up on his YouTube channel in February, the day after Hustler publisher Larry Flint died. Bob, as you know, was all about mocking and celebrating the deaths of folks who he did not feel were Christian enough. And he was on Politically Incorrect with Larry Flint and attacked him on that show. And you can see the clip of that from the late 90s. Anyway, I hung out with him for a while on that for that particular feature article. Certainly a fascinating person. I understand why so many folks despise him. He was an unrepentant homophobe, among other things. But being around him, he was one of those guys who could seem as if he was charming and funny at times, but he also just didn't really recognize the humanity of folks with whom he disagreed. And they're tremendously floppy person. Of course, we all are, but his were right out front and easy to see.
Did he really crank Another One Bites the Dust when reading gleefully, as you said, reading obits of gay sufferers?
Gay people who died of AIDS. Yeah, that was a regular feature of his Bob Enyart Live show back in that period of time. So it comes as no surprise that people have been referencing Another One Bites the Dust after hearing that he died of COVID.
You know, when you first wrote that, and I think I brushed up against him a couple of times, and I just kind of, I remember when I got into the business, and he did a radio show someplace, and he pretended like a demon was calling his show. Do you remember any of that? And he would do...
I don't remember that specifically, but that fits perfectly within his shtick.
Yeah.
He took delight in tweaking his enemies. If I recall correctly, he not only introduced the fact that he was in Westward because he viewed us as, a little bit to the left of Che Guevara, but I think there was something about a photo that we published that he had snuck some kind of secret message in, and he saw that as a tremendously hilarious prank that he played on us. I don't really remember the specifics of it, but I remember that he was mighty pleased with himself that we ran that particular photo.
I think I'm a kid starting out, and maybe I'm in the business and I'm trying to time frame it, but he was doing a work, and he would have this demon. And he and the demon would debate, and people actually believed it was real, which is really pro wrestling stuff that was great. And that's when I said, the guy's, he's working. He's not shooting, he's working.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then, how much of the stuff like this you think it's real, that he actually delighted in the death of AIDS sufferers? Do you think he actually did that?
That's a question that I don't know that we can all answer here, especially given that A, Bob's not here, and B, if Bob was here, the chances of him giving a straight answer on that are pretty slim. He certainly was a showman in that respect, and so he may have simply been doing that routine to get a rise out of his enemy.
Okay.
So there's no telling on that, but I do think that he believed that gay people were not sufficiently Christian by his standards. So things can be true at once. Maybe he was exaggerating that for for showmanship reasons. But you know, he could also have been deeply homophobic. So that's unclear. But the irony of him celebrating the deaths of people who died from a terrible virus is plain to see today.
And also, again, nationwide, and there's all these national stories now. Now he makes the list. All these conservative on-airs who attack the virus or attack the COVID vaccine are dead.
Yeah. There, I know of at least two in Florida and one in Tennessee.
Yeah.
And it's likely that there have been more. The interesting twist on Bob Enyart is that the reason he and his wife, who also has been hospitalized with COVID, and there's been no update that I've received about her condition, but he didn't do it because he, you know, thought that the disease was a hoax or anything like that. He didn't take the vaccine because he is anti-abortion and said that there was testing done on fetal cells.
And we know that's not true.
For the vaccine.
And that's not true.
There's a very, very tangential association with fetal cells that are more than 30 years old in the early development of the vaccine.
Yes.
There's no fetal cells in the vaccine.
No.
And we've got that in our current post from the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment. So, but that's his rationale. At the same time, however, the most recent Facebook post on his Real Science Radio page is a photo of a guy wearing a face shield and an N95 mask and a caption that says, and I'm paraphrasing here, conspiracy theorists who used to accuse or people who used to accuse conspiracy theorists of wearing tinfoil hats are now wearing this.
Ugh.
So there was certainly mockery of mask usage. And in October of last year, a judge ruled in favor of a lawsuit in which he was the lead plaintiff about mask use and capacity limits in churches. So, he is on record as fighting the use of masks in public places.
I'm being told by emailers or whatever, the text message, it was Bob Larson or some local talk.
Oh, Bob Larson.
That's
who you're thinking of. I wrote about Bob Larson back in the day as well. Yeah, that was Bob. Yes, he was very much demonically focused. That's correct.
And I'm being told it was he that would take calls from demons.
You have sparked my memory. I wrote about Bob Larson in the early 90s, somewhere along that line.
Who was he?
Mike he Roberts. Was another character out there.
Mike Roberts is with. So was he a local guy talking to demons on the air? Was he?
He was a local guy. He was a local guy. And we combined our post about him or our feature article about him with the material about a local professor's book on demons and demonic. That was during a period where everybody was afraid that there were Satanists hiding around every corner and burning tributes to Lucifer.
That
was quite a thing in the early 90s.
You know, and that becomes QAnon. That's part of what Q does. I mean, it's like...
You're a very on-point connection there. Those kinds of conspiracy theories have been floating around, and they pop up in different forms at different times.
No, I mean, the Q is back, and it rides with the Trump election steal, and I'm surprised. It was Bob Larson, thank you, but five emailers said he used to take – I mean, he was working, but – I mean, I've talked to plenty of demons just in the last couple of months, but
you and me both.
Oh man! And by the way, that is pronounced demon. It's three syllables. It's not a demon. It is a demon. Diamond is how that's pronounced.
Sometimes those folks add about five or six syllables to those kind of words.
Diamond.
It's very theatrical.
Well, so said and done. Now what? He's apparently the fifth conservative who on air who won't be vaccinated, and now he is gone. What do we learn?
Well, you know, first of all, I personally am not anybody who celebrates anyone's death.
No, of course not. Of course
not. So I'm certainly sorry to hear that that Bob passed away, but I do not think he will be the last. There are folks out there who have made this part of their brand, and you know, they're taking a risk. They're taking a risk that by, you know, laughing off a disease that has killed more than 600,000 Americans and millions of people worldwide is something that can scoff at. And, you know, a lot of folks, you know, may come through this with asymptomatic cases and be fine. Some will be hospitalized and they'll get out and they'll be okay. And some will die. And that's the role the dice that these folks are taking.
Our very own and my friend Stephen Tubbs came very, very close. And that guy
Stephen Tubbs' story is one that is definitely instructive. And he has spoken very eloquently about, you know, what he went through.
I know. And that Bill Phillips, that guy that really was that bodybuilder, and I've seen pictures of him in a wheelchair, and he damn near died, and he didn't get a vaccine. He was, remember all that, what was that, Fit for Life? Was that what he did? And all the Broncos?
I think that's right.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I've mentioned this to you, but my wife's great uncle was Freddie Rodriguez Jr., jazz legend, or rather Rodriguez Sr. His son Jr. is still with us, fortunately, but Freddie Rodriguez Sr., jazz legend in Denver, who was probably the first publicly identified Coloradan to die of COVID back in March of 2020. He played every week at El Chapultepec, which is now gone as well. Just a brilliant and wonderful person. And so, you know, we had this in our family in March of 2020. Then it's only
everybody,
caused more tears across the state.
Everybody knows somebody or more than one person. It's you know, you can't, the scoffing and the laughing and now this. I don't know. All right. Michael, thank you as always. Mike Roberts, read the piece. It's on westward.com this morning, and it's very, very good. And somebody else told us this morning, and Billy looked, and apparently he got hammered on a child abuse thing for hitting his kid. Somebody sent that to us as well. So,
And that definitely rings a bell. I think that may be in my original feature back in 1999, which is linked in our post.
Take care of yourself. All right. Thank you so much, Mike Roberts.
And you.
All right. 303-696-1971. Coming up on time. Another crazy morning on the radio show. A little bare knuckles fight. You're concerned about the ongoing homeless problem. This is, again, a huge plank for the Republican Party if they care to. If I told you you could have an impact on Colorado homeless right now, donating an unused vehicle, Step Denver's been helping men since 1983. I met Bob, I think, the next year. Overcoming the consequences of addiction, rebuilding their lives, sobriety, work, accountability, and community. Step Denver doesn't take any government funding. They count on people like you. Our very little homeless village here has grown again. No one does. Last month, 710 KNUS listeners donated 40 vehicles. I mean, that's great. Motorcycles and whatever you need, whatever you got, and they'll come and get it if you can't get it there. The sales of those vehicles gave 40 men the opportunity to enter the STEP program, a chance on turning their lives around. So if you got a car, a truck, a motorcycle, an RV, contact STEP Denver today. Transform lives, and your donation is tax deductible for a free tow. A hassle-free experience, 303-296-9020, 303-296-9020. Do this right. Visit stepdenver.org. Talk to Vincent, 303-296-9020 today. Coming up on time, it's 8:49, jumping over to 8:50, 10 before the hour. Stefan this afternoon. Dick Wadhams is part of what we did in the episode of The Shoot. It's up, 710KNUS/Peter Boyles. This is your chance to save big as a homeowner. The rates are incredibly low right now to do a refi, meaning you can save up to $1,000 a month. It's $1,000 a month. It's like a paycheck. You got to call American, Colorado's Home for Home Loans. Talk to their salary-based mortgage consultants about custom loan options. Learn all the ways you can benefit from a mortgage refi, from paying off debt to accessing cash for home improvements and to, of course, lowering your monthly payment. There's no pressure. There's no obligation, no upfront, no hidden fees. Simple conversations with right people about how you can save dough. Pre-qualified, to start the phone call, call them. American Financing Today. It's just stupid not to, man. It's like, here's a way to save money. Okay, count the amount of time you owe on a house. That's cool. 303-695-7000. 303-695-7000. Online, AmericanFinancing.net. NMLS 182334. Regulated by the Division of Real Estate. You know what, Peter? I'm vaccinated. I've been since April, and I recently got COVID. Yeah, but I'm reading about the end of the 1918. And he said it was to minimize symptoms and help you. That's BS. The vaccinations aren't sold. Look, then don't. I'm not kidding. But when you read about how the 1918 ended, and it morphed four times, and there are some medical historians who believe it morphed five times. But in the end of the morph, it became a very mild form. This is why anybody that appears on shows or you read that tells you they know what the virus is going to do isn't telling you the truth. No one knows. It was called the Spanish flu. It was also a COVID. And it morphed, and it morphed in Europe, and it morphed again, and morphed on the way back, and it morphed in this country. And it had waves of killing people. And it was way worse than what we have right now. These guesses of 75, 100 million people in the world died in the 1918, 1919, 1920, 21. And it's back in this country. And there's takes on its final form, or at least its final form, and it becomes a very mild flu that people just get sore throats and that's it. And then it goes, as these medical historians say, it goes to ground. It goes back into the well. And that's pretty much how it ended. And then the Roaring Twenties and all the stuff that comes with it. But the COVID that started out here, when probably where Fort Leavenworth is now, goes to Europe, spreads through Europe, rips Europe apart into Asia, comes up through India, turns around, comes back, morphs again during the war, and then morphs again, and then comes back with the GIs, and it morphs again in this country. And finally, apparently, from reading, and I'm not a physician, nor do I play one on the radio by telling people not to get shots, but what eventually happens is, at least according to what I'm reading, the COVID itself, or this virus itself, morphs into a very mild form of itself, which it conceivably can do. But now they're talking about, you know, another one behind this one and one behind that one. That's what it does. In reading these people, and they're not political historians, they're just saying, here's the truth about what happened. And it changed. Then it morphed again, and it morphed again. And when it returned to this country, as it did, it was a total different virus when it came back. That's it. So you can do what you want. I know there's a lot of anger out there. And I'm being told I'm going to get a big bonus check this week for this show. Wish the hell they'd hurry up and sign it. It's interesting. It's been an interesting 7 months of talk radio. And leave it at that. Conservative talk show hosts get bashed, and they bashed COVID vaccines, and then they get sick. There's a lesson in there for somebody. It's a Tuesday. It's going to be hot. We're back at you tomorrow morning at 5. Stefan's on this afternoon. Thanks, Billy Thorpe. Take care, everybody. See ya.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.